course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too shabby, just ready for Thanksgiving. It's right around the corner.
Well, as this episode drops, it actually is Thanksgiving.
True.
Not as we record, but when the people can earliest listen to it, it is. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there in Screamland. Hopefully you are stuffing yourselves and having a good time, getting to spend some time with family and trying to slip in a horror movie or two. So,
Yes.
but we're going to talk about some today. Our review today is of the movie Good Boy. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Really quick, let's talk Creep Tape Season 2, Episode 2. Wes, Ike, did you watch this?
I sure did.
What did you think of this one?
Well, obviously it's great. I don't think I've watched an episode of Creep Tapes yet that I haven't liked. But episode 2's with Wes, it does take a little bit of a different twist. And it actually kind of embarks on a topic that I've always been curious about as it pertains to the Creep Tapes, which is how does Joseph or Peach Fuzz, how does he handle potential police intervention? So I'll leave it at that, no spoilers. And it was a good episode. I think it was a little bit different than what we've seen before. It didn't follow the same tropes or the same rigmarole that we saw from season one, but it was good. I very much enjoyed it. Can't wait until Black Friday when I get another episode.
Right. I thought this is one of the best episodes they've done yet. This one was, it was like you said, it had a very original approach. It was very cool. Delved into something different, but was just it was so fun. Just everything about this was so fun. And he nailed it. He got to expand that character a little more. And it's this the same stuff. Right, that he's always done that same approach, attitude, whatever you want to call it, but it's in a different situation, and it was really unique. It was really fun. It was just so good to watch. Had a really nice ending for me. I thought it was just I liked how it ended, because as I was watching, I was kind of like, what are they going to do with this to get this done? And I'm glad they. Man, they really kind of drew a hard line in establishing this character, because you get a lot of these episodes, right? There's humor, and sometimes you forget about what's happening, right? And the fact that he's killing people, and I think with the ending of this one, you get a kind of a hard reminder of, this is a bad dude, man. He's killing people, and so
This is a bad mofo.
that's right. But he is entertaining. So I thought this was one of the best episodes yet. I do like this season. We've had two episodes, and both have had kind of a unique approach, a little different twist on what they've done. So I'll be curious to see if they have ways to keep that up. I'm guessing we'll probably have maybe one or two at least sprinkled in, just the old tried and true, and that's okay. But we actually do in our news have talk a little bit about one of the upcoming episodes. Something that was revealed today online. So, we'll talk about that in a bit. So, before we get to everything else, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Let's see. Still watching Supernatural. I am up to season 6, I believe. So we are post, big showdown from season 5, where it's, Michael versus Lucifer, kind of. And then obviously Sam slash Lucifer gets sent to the cage. And now we are in the Soulless Sam saga, where we have him and he had come back, and so did their grandfather Samuel. And they're kind of all these weird monsters are suddenly popping up. So we're slowly venturing towards the Mother of Monsters saga. Yeah, no, good stuff so far. Really enjoying the rewatch. Otherwise, not much else horror. Not much else that's horror related. Just a few shows here and there, but I guess Supernatural is the big one.
Yeah, let's see. Did I watch anything else? Ooh, I don't remember. I don't think so. Did I watched Thanksgiving? Was that before last episode? Or no?
Yeah, I think last episode, like the holiday for, not the holiday, the birthday for it.
What's that? What did you
The
say?
like the anniversary for the Thanksgiving, that was last week, I think.
No, I said I watched it.
Oh, I thought you were asking me when the anniversary was for
No.
it.
But I couldn't remember if I watched it after last episode or before last episode. But whatever the case, recently I did watch, rewatch Thanksgiving. Actually, it was since. It was since. It was just a day or two ago. So I did rewatch Thanksgiving. But I think otherwise, I think that's about it that I can recall. So not much right now, but we're getting ready to get into the Christmas season. This is actually the last episode of thing of excuse me, November.
True.
So we will be into December soon, and I have some favorites that I have to hit through that time.
Of
But I also
course.
have lots of non-horror stuff to watch too during December. So I keep busy with my viewing. So, all right then, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have our news and anniversaries and everything. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, we're going to get started here with body horror movie The Ugly Stepsister is now available to watch on Shudder. It is described as Elvira battles against her gorgeous stepsister in a realm where beauty reigns supreme. She resorts to extreme measures to captivate the prince amid a ruthless competition for physical perfection. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Now, if I recall correctly, we did get a screener link for this, and we watched this already, I'm pretty sure.
Did we?
I think so, because I know that it recently came out on Shudder, but yeah, I'm pretty sure we watched this, or at least I watched it when we got the screener link. But because it was released a while, not a while ago, maybe it was a while ago, but it was released a little while ago, and we had a screener link for it. But I remember we had something else that came out at the same time that this did, so we didn't originally watch it. But I
Okay.
believe it came out like February, March, maybe.
Okay, maybe. It's a foreign language film. Was it in foreign language?
It was like in like Dutch or something like that.
Okay. Well, it's just now hitting Shudder. So
Yes.
that's the timing on it. And I don't know. Maybe I did watch it already, but I'm gonna watch it again. And
Okay.
I did see on Shudder they do have it actually have an English overdub version, which
Really?
that's right. Yeah, I saw that today when I was looking to just to verify that it was on there. I saw there was an English overdub, which is unique because I've never seen that on there. But so I'm curious. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it again. Maybe it'll all come back to me, but that's okay. I think I'm going to watch the overdub version. I think that'll be the way to go for me this time.
Yeah,
But so
I
I don't have
think
to read.
so. I was going to say, I remember watching it in the foreign language. It was great, but I'm very curious to see the quality of the dub. So we'll
Right.
that's a whole new viewing experience.
That's right.
Very cool. But yeah, we'll be reviewing that next episode, so keep an eye out for that. But moving to our next little bit of news, Scarlett Johansson will star in Mike Flanagan's The Exorcist. No release date is available yet for this movie, but reportedly this is not a remake and will tell an all new story. So that's good news. all new story is always good. Now, I am a little concerned about the whole Scarlett Johansson thing.
Yeah.
Not that I don't doubt that she is a skilled actress. My big thing is that horror oftentimes thrives with the unknowns. And I think Scarlett Johansson could do a good job, but we'll see. All worth full judgment.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, ScarJo is okay at certain things, but I don't know. It's hard not to picture her in, you know, certain role or Black Widow or whatever else. I think she really needs to step outside her box and just do something completely different and do, like, I don't know, something where she's a villain or, you know, really bad or really, I don't know, but to try to reinvent herself a little. But I don't know. We'll see. I love The Exorcist, so I'm looking forward to some new material in that realm. I like Mike Flanagan, so I like him being on board. I don't know. I feel like Scarlett Johansson a lot of time gets signed on because they think that's going to automatically make it successful at the box office. And it doesn't always work, but hopefully she can deliver. I don't know. But again, we don't know what her part is in this or what she's doing. I don't know. But
true.
Whatever. I'll be open-minded until I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll keep an open mind until we actually get to see it. But I mean, the role that she played in Jurassic World was a rebirth, or whatever the last one was.
Yeah.
Her character was a little morally ambiguous in that one, so maybe she will play a more evil character in this. Or, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it just seems to me that I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen enough. She always seems to act her roles the exact same, though. It always seems like it's the same delivery. I don't. Maybe again, my extent of her is really, you know, the Jurassic Park movie and the Marvel movies. I don't know what else I've seen her in. I mean, there might have been something else, but so maybe that's why I get stuck in that rut of thinking of her.
Yeah,
I don't know. She's always funny on Saturday Night
those
Live.
Are probably her most notorious roles, specifically, you know, with Marvel and whatnot.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, she seems to do comedy well, but I don't know. Again, unless I'm missing something, I don't know that she's ever done a full-blown horror movie.
I don't know. I'll have to look at her IMDb, because, like you said, I mean, most of her, even prior to, like, Marvel, I think it was mostly, like, romantic comedies and stuff like that.
And it makes me wonder, then, how full-blown horror will this be? I mean, will it be milder? Will they be going for a PG-13 rating with her in it and trying to get, you know, across the board? I don't know. It raises a lot of questions, but eventually we'll get the answers for them. We'll get to make our own decisions on it.
Sure. Also, I was just looking at her IMDb. She was in Eight-Legged Freaks. So, I mean,
yeah, well, that's, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of, you know.
That was a little more of a horror comedy, so it's
I mean, it's, again, there's not going to be, surely not going to be a lot of comedy in The Exorcist. I mean, and something within The Exorcist, but I don't know. But again, it's not like The Exorcist is a slasher franchise either. So they can, you know, they lean into the supernatural stuff. So there is that, you know, that, I don't know. Again, it, in my mind, as a viewer, it raises a lot of questions, but that's okay. We'll see.
Sure.
But if it even happens, who knows what'll happen between here and there.
I was gonna say the other Exorcist movie that we were potentially gonna get got scrapped, so it's hard to say if we'll even get it, you know.
Yeah, who knows.
But very good. Well, again, keep an open mind, but until then, we mentioned it briefly, but the December 12th episode of the Creep Tape, so not this next weekend, but the and not the weekend after, but the weekend after, we will get the this episode. But it will be a Christmas special, and it is described as Nick is confronted by his therapist's odd behavior during an emergency therapy session on Christmas Eve. I'm venturing to guess that the therapist is our buddy Joseph, and mischief is afoot.
I would guess so. It's weird how he slides into these roles. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I like anything that has a Christmas tint to it, and that can be fun here.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a great move. Christmas specials are fantastic. All holiday specials are fantastic. One of the few things that I truly miss about like sitcoms and like in the olden days was that there was
Oh yeah.
always like a dedicated like Halloween episode, Thanksgiving episode, Christmas episodes, sometimes even like July 4th episodes if it ran during that time. But yeah, it was just always a good time.
Yep, definitely.
But anywho, that's good stuff. We'll keep an eye out for that. We'll probably review it as we will every week until the season is over. But very good. And then a little bit of news here. Writer and director Robert Heltzik has officially completed the script for the Sleepaway Camp remake. Now, we talked extensively about this, so I won't dwell on it too much. But, you know, Dave and I both have our apprehensions about remaking a classic like Sleepaway Camp. And we do question whether or not remaking Sleepaway Camp is, quite frankly, even viable in today's age. Not to say that it can't be done, but we do question whether or not it should be done. So that's something that we're curious about.
Yeah, and it is intriguing. I mean, Robert Hiltzik he's the guy that wrote and directed the original. So, so he is back apparently doing this, which I thought I had heard, but I wasn't for sure if that was confirmed. So that's that, that I don't know. That kind of makes me, I don't know, makes me curious about this. In a lot of ways, though, is this going to be a straight remake now? It's
Yeah.
peculiar, you know, and he. I don't know, right? I've seen a picture of the front of the script page, and it says Sleepaway Camp 2025, you know, and whatever. So is this a direct remake? Is this more of a requel? Is this what it, you know, what is this? And so I'm curious now, because bringing him back, good call, right? He nailed it on the first one. He wrote, directed, right? He knows the vision, so bringing him back, perfect. But I'm curious what's going on with this. And I do know that Felisa Rose has like shared everything about this online. Now, she could just be, because right, this is her franchise, this is her movie, and she's just right being a good spirit. We've talked about it before. She's a great ambassador. Or is she tied to the movie somehow? Will she be in it in some capacity? Will it be a cameo? If this is a requel type thing, will Angela somehow be in there as an adult? You know who? I don't know. I now have questions.
Yeah.
As to some of those things that we wondered before, maybe we were asking the wrong questions.
That's
And
true.
maybe this is not a remake. Maybe this is more they're pulling the Scream requel type deal and bridge into something new. And maybe the whole reveal of the original's not even the point anymore. And maybe that's not even that they don't even need that, right? I mean, or it's not a sticking point, right? Because they're not looking to do that reveal again. But it's something that spins out of that movie and bridges over to a new thing. So I don't know. I'm curious now of what this direction is.
Yeah.
And I believe I said the exact same thing. I am apprehensively curious. I want this to be good. I want this to succeed. I want to love this movie. But it feels like it's a weird line to walk. But if they go more of a recall type route or something to that effect, some of those concerns are gone. Then you don't have to worry about that anymore. So, I'm curious with him being on board. I don't know. Unless
Yeah.
when they say he has completed the script, unless that just means revising this. I don't, you know, it's, I don't know. Did he write a full new script? Or did he just revise the old script and bring it up to date again? I don't know. What has happened? It's like we have all these questions and we don't know where they're going with it. Someone tell us more. It's definitely got my attention. Let me put it that way.
No, absolutely. I think that I'm sure we'll find out some more information soon, but my hope is that they go the Requel route and that Angela is still a character in universe and they get Felisa Rhodes back to play her in some way, shape, or form. You know, I don't know. Hopefully they do. Hopefully they do it justice. But
It doesn't
like
even
you
have to
said,
be a
I'm
major thing. Doesn't even have to be a
no.
big part for it, just something to link it. And fuck, I don't care. Bring back what's her name? Springsteen's sister. She's still, I'm assuming she's still alive from the other
Yeah.
two. But I'm thinking they're ignoring all that problem. But hell, have her in it. I mean, let's just bring it all in. And I don't know. I'm very curious. But all I know is this. Hey, Kenan Thompson, don't fuck this up. This is Sleepaway Camp, man. This is good shit. And just don't do us wrong here. They've tried to do lots of sequels, man, and they're not that good. And they don't have that same feel, that spirit, that energy. And because again, a lot of them they've tried to play around, skirt with that the big reveal at the end of the first one and use it. And have you ever seen Return to Sleepaway Camp? The one that Felisa Rose did?
Yeah, the you're talking about the one that's where she's like the sheriff, right?
Yeah, and it ignores the other ones, the other
Yeah.
sequels. That was a bad movie.
It was.
It was not a good movie. And I love Felisa Rose, but that was not a good movie. And it's like because they're still trying to, they've always still tried to skirt around that reveal and still try to make it like it's you can do it again. Like you can, right? Like you can put that magic trick back and pull it out again, and no pun intended. And it's you can't, right? And it's now, if you try to do something like that, it's kind of weird and tacky and not it's not clever. It's more offensive and kind of gross. If you do the same thing, it's just not it's not gonna work. And that's so, what you got to think. Kenan, you got to think, right? He's smart enough. Surely he knows not to. I mean, surely he's not gonna allow something stupid with his production company. And that's why, I don't know. That's why now my gut feels like this is more Requel material. And it
Yeah,
might
I'm
still be
thinking
called
so.
Sleepaway Camp, but again, they all do that, right? They don't come up with a new name. They don't want to feel like it's the next in the franchise. They feel like that gives it that reboot of the franchise feel if it's just the same name again. Look how many have done it. Scream, Halloween, I Know What You Did Last Summer. They all just, right? They just use the original title. To kind of tell you, this is where this is where it restarts, and I kind of feel like that's what they're trying here. All these other franchises are doing it, and I feel like that's what they're doing here. They're going to go back. They bring the original guy back. They ignore all the subsequent attempts at sequels, and say, "Okay, Robert Hiltzik, what would you do if you're this many years, 40 years in the future?" From the original, and you wanted to continue this story on, what would you do? Let's discuss this. And you want to link it to that, so how would you do that? But yet you want to bring it into a new realm, right? And move it, try to so that there's potential to move forward. How do we do this? I think that's I really think that's where we're at. And it's not just a straight remake anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's unfortunate. I mean, that it has to be like that. If it's not,
I
I'm
hope.
very worried.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm telling you, if it's not, we will review this movie. And if it's not, the gloves are off
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
because I'm not going to be happy. Because that's just, I don't know. There's no place. I don't think there's a place for that now. It's different. That same scenario now is different. I'm not saying they were disrespectful even back then, though. That's not what it was. It wasn't a mockery. It wasn't a joke. They didn't do any of that then, right? So it what I don't even view it as it was an offensive thing necessarily then, because it was more this twisted mom. This is what happened, right? It wasn't poking fun at a part of the of a slice of people, a section of people. If you do it now, it most definitely is. whether that's in your intent or not, it's going to. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to come across, and there's just no place for that. We know better. We know better. It's been 40 years. We're smarter people, and well, some of us, and there's no place for it. And I don't know. I would think, Keenan's had a very long career. He's been very active in lots of stuff. He's done movies. He's done obviously Saturday Night Live for an eternity. Surely he's got his fingers on his pulse and knows enough to know that, I would think. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. But for now,
You know
we
how
will.
passionate we are about it because, man, this is every time Sleepaway Camp comes up, we get sidetracked.
Oh, absolutely. This is up there with Scream and Chucky. We always get out on
That's
tangents on
right.
them. So,
There's so much to digest there.
there is. But no, for sure though, I think we'll have to hold our peace until we get a little bit of more information.
It
But
is.
until then,
I mean,
but.
we don't have that much information. Look how long we're talking about. It's gonna be something else when we actually know something. So,
That's what I was gonna say. As soon as we know something, it's gonna be even worse.
yeah, we may have to like do a two-part episode.
Right. But for now though, we will hold our peace and
I said my bet.
that's right. We've gone on our soapbox and hopefully when it comes we will be happy. If not, we'll let you know. Now it wasn't in the news this week, but I did want to mention Stranger Things season 5 part 1 comes out November 26th.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, the day before Thanksgiving, the day before this comes out. So for people who are unaware, Stranger Things season 5 is dropping in 3 parts. Part 1 is dropping right before Thanksgiving, part 2 is dropping right before Christmas, and part 3 is dropping right before the New Year. Basically, each part is going to be multiple episodes. And then, I'm pretty sure part 1 is I don't remember, 4 episodes. And then part 2 is 3 episodes. And then part 3 is like 1 episode, but it's like a long episode as I understand it.
All I know is they have, why not? They've drug it out this long. Chew it a little more. I also believe I saw news today. I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but apparently there might be a spin-off series coming in the future.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what that is. Or I mean, I'm like, I'm afraid they're going to run this thing into the ground. I don't know. Spin-off series are they're curious. And I don't know.
I want to say, because I heard what you're talking about, there is a stage play called Stranger Things, The First Shadow, which is a prequel to the Stranger Things series. So a lot of people think that they're going to actually make a prequel show about the play. Because the play kind of gives an origin to some of the characters like Victor Creel and what's the guy's name? His son, fuck, Henry Creel, and like some of the other main characters in the show. So I don't know. I've heard that too, but I think it's going to be very dependent upon I because from what I understand, this season is going to be very final. Apparently, they've left no loose ends for like the main Stranger Things story. So anything that they would do would either have to take place prior to the series, or it would have to take place with like other characters from within the series. I'm not totally sure how
It's
that'll
a
look or how that'll work.
yeah, it's okay. Just I mean, wait, 20 years from now, we'll be talking about, Stranger Things, middle agent Hawkins, and everything else. So, but well, 20 years, I don't know. God damn, I'll be old. I don't know.
Well, for sure, if they continue the track that they're going, we'll get the next spinoff or whatever in 5 years. So everyone will have forgotten about Stranger Things by then.
Probably.
But I just wanted to bring that up because I'm excited to watch it. I recently rewatched all 4 seasons of Stranger Things, so I'm excited to finally get some stuff and like hopefully finish some of it, and get some finality to it. I do hear that there are supposedly some major character deaths.
Kill them all.
You said kill them
That's
all.
right. You want to
Well,
close this thing out? Kill them all.
apparently, and this is completely just what I've heard from online, right? I have heard anywhere between 2 to 10 people from the main cast die. And I'm like, are there even 10 people in the main cast who, like, what are we considering main cast? Like, what the
I
fuck are we
don't know.
talking? Like, but you know what I mean? Like, and it's obviously internet rumors. Now, the most common figure I've heard is the number 6, that there's going to be 6 people who die, but it's supposed to be symbolic for some reason. I don't know why, but anyways, we'll see. We'll see. We're going to get, because we're recording this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We'll know more tomorrow before the next episode goes up, I guess.
One would think, yeah.
But in any case, we'll move on from that. But if you guys need something to watch this holiday season with your family, may as well watch some Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we're going to talk about some upcoming birthdays. We have November 27th, 1953. We have Curtis Armstrong. Curtis Armstrong, of course, is known for his role in specifically, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff. His voice is so iconic, but he's the Supernatural. He plays Don't Tell Me. He plays an angel. He is Metatron. He plays
Yes.
Metatron and Supernatural. I
Yes.
knew it. It was right at the tip of my tongue. But he's almost. I'm almost to the part where he's at in the show. Like, I think I'm like maybe like a season or two away, but I'm like almost there. I like Metatron's character. I think it was a very interesting added.
I did too. And I think and he's also was Booger in Revenge of the Nerds for
Yep.
the that's a troubled movie, but it's no, that's how I first remember him. But yeah, he's done lots of stuff. Lots of stuff, but given my obsession over Supernatural, that's probably what he'll always most be known for with me.
Absolutely. Well, I remember him a lot from he does a lot of voice work on American Dad. And then he also does a lot of voice work on a couple other shows I can't pull off the top of my head. But obviously, Supernatural too, now that I've seen the shoot show. But he has a very, very like specific, like iconic voice. Like his voice I hear and I'm like, oh man, I've heard that somewhere before many a time. So but no, he's great. I think Curtis Armstrong's a very underappreciated actor of our time. But very good. Happy birthday, Curtis. And his birthday is on Thanksgiving this year. So hope he
Woohoo.
eats a lot of Thanksgiving food and stuffs himself full as a turkey. So speaking of birthdays that happen to fall on holidays, November 28th, which this year is Black Friday, is Monica's birthday. We're going to be celebrating all together. So both myself, Dave, and the wives, we're going to get together for the holidays. I actually, weirdly enough, today I made the cranberry sauce for Friday because you have to let it sit in the fridge for a few days so that way it gets all the good tastes.
That's
But
right.
anyways, yeah, happy birthday to Monica. She gets to have a birthday around Thanksgiving, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, some years it's on Thanksgiving, but
Yeah, it is.
but not this year. It she gets the 1-2 punch this year.
This year she gets Thanksgiving and then Black Friday as her birthday,
That's
and
right.
then she or she gets Black Friday, which is the capitalism nightmare day.
That's right. The day that I don't venture out anymore.
Hell no, I don't go out anymore because people are just so crazy. And like now that we live down the south and stuff like that, like I don't think it's supposed to be super cold. Which I mean, I guess cold is subjective. I take it back. It's supposed to be in like the 30s and 40s on that day, so it's gonna be cold for us. so I won't be going out for that reason alone.
Yeah, that's right.
But
There's nothing I want that bad.
no, nothing I can't order online.
That's right.
But anywho, happy birthday, Monica. And she shares a birthday with two people this week. We have November 28th of 1958. Tom Matthews, of course, known for his role in Return of the Living Dead 1 and 2, as well as we're Friday the 13th Part 6. Have to remember my Roman numerals. Tommy Jarvis in that film.
That's
that
Jason Lives.
Yeah, that's the Jason Lives where he becomes brought, he gets brought back to life, zombie Jason, right?
That's right. He's the yeah. He is. He's the guy that I always say at the beginning, right? That opening scene where he has to kill, right? He has to make sure Jason's dead, so he shoves the whatever in his chest, which serves as a lightning rod to bring
Yeah.
back Jason. But that guy he's with in that scene that gets killed is used to be in the show from the '70s, Welcome Back, Kotto, and he was Horseshack. So that's I see him. That's always what I think of. Yeah, and yeah, of course, Tom, Return of the Living Dead, one of the best movies of all time.
That is a good one. I do like Return of the Living Dead. Part two is my favorite. I like part one, but part two is so fun for me.
Yeah, they're both great.
But honestly, that version of Tommy Jarvis, I think, is the most iconic too, because he was the version that got put in the Friday 13th video game. Because I don't know the specifics, but in certain levels, you could actually play as Tommy Jarvis, but it was this version of Tommy Jarvis.
They didn't put the quiet one on the from the farm who wouldn't answer anybody's questions.
Or Corey Feldman's
Yeah,
Tommy Jarvis.
the little guy who just stands in the bushes and watches.
Right, like a weirdo. J Jason Jr.
Yeah. Such an untapped possibility there.
Really, it is. It really is.
No, we got the paramedic is oh, come on.
It could have been better, man. It could have been better.
Could have been Tommy. Could have been Tommy.
I mean, they literally bury the lead twice. They do the whole Tommy Jarvis turning dark side at the end of part four and at the end of part five, just for them to turn around and be like, oh, never mind, JK. He's a
Yeah,
good guy.
forget it.
Forget about it.
And he's got a girl.
Right. Yeah.
And their dad's a sheriff, and she he don't like him, and whatever.
Good Lord. But in any case, happy birthday, Tom. Hope you're doing well. We're going to jump now to November 28th of 1946. We have Joe Dante, the director of Gremlins, The Howling, and many more. I mean, the Gremlins and The Howling by themselves, I think, are pretty iconic. pretty iconic.
That's a pretty good
directors.
resume.
Yeah, so far so good. The Howling's great. But apparently he also did 78's Piranha.
Yeah,
And
he did.
He did some other stuff too. But that's, again, even more iconic. But no, I love those movies. And obviously that is due in part to our friend Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Is Joe still alive?
Yo, Joe. Let's see. Yes, he is. He is still alive. He's still with us.
Good deal.
I don't know if he's still doing. Oh no, he's got some stuff coming up. He's got six projects in development.
I wonder if he'll be a part of the new Gremlins movie.
I sure hope so. If he's still
Yeah,
kicking
maybe.
around, I'm hoping he is.
Yeah, maybe he can't actually direct, but
He's actually,
you can.
produce a role or something.
You can bring him on to advise a little. And why
According
not?
to this, he's directing a reboot of Little Shop of Horrors that is in pre-production.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you remake that movie that's without Rick Moranis? Who's going to play that?
Unless they're pulling Rick Moranis out of out of retirement.
This is where I feel another Sleepaway Camp rant. We need to move on.
But moving on before that gets started. We have one more birthday, November 30th of 1979. A friend of the show's, David Howard Thornton. I don't know if he actually is a friend, but I consider him to be a friend.
I think he's everybody's friend.
True. But David Howard Thornton, as
Maybe
many
not everybody,
people, true. But as many people may know, he's, of course, Art the Clown in Terrifier 2 and 3. But he's also the mean one from The Mean One. And he's also plays Steamboat Willie and Screamboat, as well as player number two, three? I don't know,
I remember
but
which
he's
one
a
is.
scream.
Yeah, he's a street. You can tell it's him. He's the skinny one.
Yeah, the lanky guy.
That's right. Yeah, you can tell which one it is. But yeah, that's man. He's in some fun movies there.
He is. He's got a hell of a resume going for him, especially as an independent filmmaker.
That's right. And we know. I mean, obviously, we know, right? Terrifier 4 on the way. We know coming up, there's going to be a Screamboat 2 introducing Minnie. That ought to be wild. I'm assuming, I think I've heard that there's planning to do a stream too. I don't remember. I don't know if he died in that or not. I don't recall. It's been a while. So yeah, we know some parts he'll have in the future.
I think he's still alive.
Okay, well.
I'm pretty sure. So I don't think that they had a very clear on-screen death for him.
Yeah. So, and I'll be curious to see what other, things he picks up, because he plays he's so good at whatever you want to call him, body acting or whatever, his mannerisms. I mean, he plays non-speaking parts it very, very well. And but he's got a lot of theatrical training and different things, and he so he you know when you're performing for the balconies, sometimes you do that, right? That's just like the old adage of pro wrestling, right? If you had a live event, right, you want to your mannerisms should be able to you want them to be able to picked up by the guy in the last row. So that's why sometimes it looks a little over the top, right? It's so the guy in the top row can tell, but he's very good at that. And so I'm curious to see what else he does in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he has a pretty bright future ahead of him. Just given his current resume and given the fact that he is generally a good person and has little to no controversy in real life.
You know his dream role, right? What his dream role is to play.
To play the Joker, right?
The Joker. He did a little bit. And like I don't know if it's a fan film or just a photo shoot or something. But yeah, he wants to play the Joker very, very badly, and he definitely could, but it'd have to be the more a little more of a campy Joker, more
Yeah, it has to be more in line with
Killing Joke or something
Mark
like,
Hamill Joker.
yeah, Mark Hamill or something like, yeah, oh yeah, he could play very good, play a live action version of the animated Joker, but yeah, I totally see it. I totally watch that.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. I'll watch David do pretty much anything. David Harris Jordan, you demand, but
Right.
unfortunately, his birthday does not fall on Thanksgiving. It falls on the Sunday after. So hopefully he eats some Thanksgiving leftovers and gets to veg out for a little bit because I know he's busy these days. Very good. So that does it for our birthdays. So we have some anniversaries here popping up. We have November 28th, 2014, The Babadook. The Babadook is great. If you've never ever watched The Babadook, it is a fantastic look into a lot of different things, but it's sort of a meta movie about phobias and I want to say anxiety and other mental illnesses and stuff like that. But it's also a very good horror film.
Yeah, definitely. It's a I think yeah, I think it's definitely one of the better modern horror movies that have been made.
Absolutely. And what's the phrase that some people use? It's not smart horror
Elevated.
or elevated horror. I would say this is an example of
Yeah.
an acceptable quote unquote elevated horror, even though I don't like using that phrase.
I don't either. Remember at the beginning of the new Scream, the requel. Remember with Jenna Ortega when she's on the phone and when he says something about what's your favorite scary movie or whatever else, she's like, oh, I like elevated horror like the Babadook and blah 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 or whatever and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know, I don't like that phrase. Just because it gives the implication that other horror is no brain. I don't like that. But I get what they're saying and what the ideal behind it is, but I don't know. It sounds weird to me. I don't use it.
No, I agree. I think it's a borderline derogatory towards lower budget films in some way.
Right. It is. When I sit there, when I want to watch just a good mindless slasher, that's okay. And I don't need somebody to tell me that's not a smart film. I ain't watching it for the, I'm not watching it to think.
No, for
Nothing wrong
sure.
with that.
Absolutely. I agree. But don't get us started on that. We'll go
That's
down that rabbit hole too, but
another soapbox there. Yeah.
true. But jumping now to November 30th of 2000, I'm sorry, 1990, we have Misery. Misery is great. Actually, I just watched the episode of Supernatural
Oh,
not too long ago where they meet Chuck for the first time,
he
and
says,
he's like, "Is this a Misery
is
thing?"
this a misery thing? Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, it's, oh man, what a great movie.
It is.
And I mean, but how could you go wrong? I mean, with James Caan and Kathy Bates in it, and I mean, talk about a movie written by fucking Stephen King, based on a Stephen King book. I mean, come on. It's boom. Recipe for success right there.
Actually, weirdly enough, you said Kathy Bates, and that reminded me. I forgot to mention it earlier, but I'm rewatching American Horror Story.
Oh yeah.
I we may we watched through the first season, which is the that's called I think it's called like Hell House, and the second season is Asylum. But next season is Coven, and Kathy Bates is in that season, and she's in a bunch of the other ones too.
Yeah. She's great.
But yeah, she is. She's really great, and she has a I would say a very extensive history of horror films.
Yeah. And she's really had a, I don't want to say resurgence, because I don't think she's ever really gone away, but man, she's really out there. She's on that Matlock show or that remake, and I guess it's doing pretty well. And so, I mean, she's as prominent as ever, still out there doing the thing.
No, absolutely. She, like you said, she's never really gone away, but she's definitely reappeared quite a bit lately, which is perfectly fine with me.
Sure.
But very good. So happy birthday to Misery. And then we have another one on November 30th, just about 22 years later. We have The Collection on November 30th, 2012. The Collection and The Collector are sort of a 1-2 punch that are fantastic, very underrated horror films from the 2000s. And we are also getting a third one, The Collected, at some point
That's
in
right.
the future.
Yeah, I feel like we have a, I don't know, there's something about us that I feel like we have influence somehow, because we start this show, right? And we talk about one of the things we really talked about was how, oh, there's a lot of 90s horror that's just underappreciated, right? And people don't, or not 90s horror, early 2000s horror, and that people, forget about and overlook, and then all of a sudden, bam, they here now they redid the I Know What You Did Last Summer, or rebooted or whatever. We talk about, man, we were pumping and just praising the Creep movies and how good they were, and everybody should watch them. And then all of a sudden, bam, what where's Creep tapes? And, oh, someday we're gonna make a third movie. And we've always talked about these collector movies, and oh, they're so good. People don't, why don't people talk about them? Why don't they get enough recognition? Oh, now we're gonna get a third one. I feel like we have power. We need to use it right, wisely.
Right. Hey, we need to speak into existence, some other movies that we want to see. But no, absolutely. We do talk about this one a lot, though. And we do mention that it is a underrated film, an underappreciated
It
film,
is.
perhaps.
I don't understand why it does not get talked about more. I
The
really don't. There.
collector is very marketable too. His mask
Ah,
is
yeah.
scary.
I'd love a figure. Ah, give me a break. I'm telling you.
Somebody needs to make a collector action figure, man.
That's right. I mean, come on. But we need to be careful. With great power comes great responsibility. I am talking to you, Kenan Thompson.
Yeah.
No, not gonna go back there. But no, I love these movies. I can't wait to see the next one. And again, I do. If there has been any collector merchandise of any sort, I don't ever recall seeing anything. Nothing. Not even like on some of the just the horror specific t-shirts. I don't even remember seeing it on that or anything. And it bugs me. Bugs me. I want something. I want a shirt, or I want a figure, or I don't know, I want something. And the rights can't be hung up and stuff, right? They're making a third movie, so what's going on here? Maybe we'll get it
Yeah.
with the third movie. Maybe we'll get something now that we're in this marketing age of merchandising's. They're merchandising everything, right? And it's a little, I don't want to say easier, but a little more accessible to make figures. There's more options for things, right? You don't have to go to a Kenner or a Mattel or whatever. You can. There's options. Maybe we'll see something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, the options and the availability are much better in the current day and age, so
I'm
I feel more
totally,
confident we would.
well, I'm totally right now with my fingers on my temples trying to wish it into existence. I'm trying to harness that imaginary power I think I have to, that I will get a collector figure in the future.
Yep, that's right. Manifest it. Manifest it to be real.
If there was one at some point or something that I am missing, somebody needs to reach out to us. You know what would be, the collector would make a great Toonie Terror.
He would. I would agree. I think that you could make him into a
Anything.
Teen Terror.
Anything. A Funko Pop. Not necessarily. Funko's not doing too well. I don't want to. I don't really want a Funko Pop. I'd like to have something. I'd really just like to have a nice. I'd rather like to have is a nice one of those Nika figures, right? Really a deluxe, detailed. Come on. All right.
No, 100%. No, you're saying get us started on the collector now.
I'm on another soapbox, man. I'm telling you what, it's. I'm down. Let's
Soapbox
go.
episode. No,
It is, man.
it's
These are all my triggers today.
all good. But last anniversary before the review, we have December 2nd, 2022, Violent Night. This is a good one. David Harbour, Santa being a savior type deal. Not as much of a horror movie as we kind of thought it was going to be, but still fun
Okay.
nonetheless.
Yeah. I think we reviewed this, right? I think it was a review in the archives. So
I feel like we did, yeah.
this would have been right after I think we started.
I
That
think so.
I believe so. So I'm pretty sure it's in the archives. So if anybody wants to give our full thoughts, but it's all right. It's a fun movie. Yeah, not it's more action to me than horror in retrospect. I think they're making a second one. I think I heard that at some point that there's at least talks. So we'll I don't know. We'll see. Why not? But I don't know that we will review the second one because again, it's not just not it's just not a horror. I don't think it really is. Like it's it is what it is.
No, I agree
I'm not
100%.
shitting on it, and we put it in our movie anniversaries, I guess. So, but I mean,
It's a fun one. It's just one of those that it was sort of in some way, shape, or form, not necessarily depicted, but it was sort of marketed as a potential horror-esque film, but it was more of like Die Hard if Bruce Willis was Santa Claus.
Yeah, I mean, all the promotional material had Santa with a sharpened candy cane, so you thought, hell yeah, this is good. And it was just, there was some, there were some kills, but not just more action type kills, but whatever. This is not a soapbox for me. I don't care one way or another, but I'm now
No.
questioning my thoughts of why I put this necessarily in the movie, and versus I guess just because December's coming up, so I wanted to, I was feeling the spirit.
No, absolutely.
Plus, there's
And
the
like you
nice
said,
tie-in with Stranger Things and David Harbour. I don't know. I didn't think about it that deeply, but there you
it
go.
worked out.
All good.
But anywho,
Nobody cares.
that's right. We
Whoa.
got it on lock.
Did you hear that? Did you hear in the background? Oh, one of the cats screamed. God, I wish I had picked that up because that would have been some nice
Nice
horror
color.
ambiance. Yeah. Totally sounded like, totally sounded like someone was skinning her, but no, just the dog walked by. That's all it was.
I didn't catch that. That's funny.
She's kind of a bitch.
Don't say that. She's coming for you next.
Geez, she knows better.
But all right, that does it though for our news, birthdays, anniversaries. And we didn't have any upcoming releases. The movie we're
Yeah,
reviewing next week is already out technically, so
it's kind of why we dipped to it. I mean, it's not knocking it, but there wasn't really another prominent choice out there. So
nope. But we got some good stuff coming up in
that's
the
right.
future,
That's right. Next
but
couple of weeks, some big ones.
oh, absolutely. But for now, we will take a break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Good Boy. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, we're back here and listen to Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Good Boy, written by Alex Cannon and Brian Lehenberg, directed by Brian Lee, or excuse me, Ben Lehenberg, not Brian, starring Indy, who's the dog, Shane Jensen, and others. This movie did have a theatrical run. It opened on October 3rd and grossed $2,343,694 domestically, which was a good for number nine for opening weekend. I think it overperformed a little bit what they anticipated. I think it, you heard that talk at that time that it did a little better, but it is now available to watch on Shudder. And again, this is not going to be This is not going to be a very long review for me, and I'm going to tell you why. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean this in the complete opposite. I fucking love this movie. I thought this. I heard all the hype about this, and about how good the dog did and everything else. Right. And a fun fact that I didn't put in here. I did read that it took like 400 days, scattered over 3 years, to film this movie, because of working with the dog and you know the limitations, and you know you can't overwork a dog and different things like that. So, but anyway, I'm telling you what, this dog, and I'm a dog man. I'm a dog guy. Don't get me wrong. I love dogs. Love them. So maybe I'm biased, but this dog worked better in this movie than a lot of actors do. Now, to be fair, a lot of it was just they were coaxing natural reactions, I'm sure, but that's okay. But this movie was creepy. And because there's one thing you hear a lot of, and I think they may have mentioned in the film, if I remember right, dogs being having an intuition, right? For if there are spirits and whatnot, dogs are in tune with that, right? In a way that humans can't. You hear stuff like that. And this dog, every noise, every motion, or anything that he thought was there or he heard, he was, and it made you, like when he would look in the shadows, it almost made you lean forward and look, right? Is there really something there? And sometimes there wasn't, but it would draw you in because you trusted the dog. And the other guy did a great job too, just because it was a roller coaster with me with this guy, because you obviously. I felt sorry for him on one level, right? But then I got to a point where, man, was like, I almost hated the guy because he started to be mean to the dog. And I understand the situation, but I was like, dude, that fucking dog didn't do anything. That fucking dog's by your side and everything else. And then he did apologize and redeem himself a little bit and made amends, and it was all good again. But then, oh, I'm telling you, the ending kind of broke my heart a little bit. And I thought it was pretty sad. Just, I felt for the dog. And but I don't know. I thought this. I for a movie like this, which had a very number one, we've talked about it, right? There's not enough people out there taking swings and trying to be creative and do something a little different. They obviously took a swing here with this and tried something different. I think it worked. One reason it did work is they didn't overdo it. This movie was like 73 minutes. And that's good. You can't go much longer because then you're overdoing the novelty of what you're doing. You're just repeating stuff, right? And it's not as effective. I felt like they got in, did what they needed to do, and got out really, really well. They made you feel they I think they used, for the fact that they had a dog who obviously couldn't speak, they used some creative ways to get some dialogue and some narrative in there, right? Through phone calls, through the one neighbor around, through the video, watching the grandpa's videos, through this, different ways of getting some of that narrative out there without it feeling kind of pushed or forced. And I think they did a great job. And I think it part of the reason maybe that it did take them so long to do this, there was not a rush. They got to make sure everything was what they needed. They about to make little revisions if they wanted as they went. They could tweak things if need be. I really thought the movie was great. I loved it. I thought it was original. I thought it was fun. I see what all the hype was about. I really do. It was just a fun movie. I would definitely watch it again at some point. If for no other reason, just to see Indy the dog. He was so cute. What do you think?
Well, so obviously I loved it. The movie was fantastic, and I'm not saying this in the way it's going to sound. It at the end of it felt less like a horror movie to me though, because without making a spoiler, the guy, main character, goes to his grandfather's cabin and to kind of get away from things, but he's kind of afflicted with something. And to me, the movie was very much an analog for loss and perhaps like cancer or like a genetic illness. And the whole premise of the movie is that Indy is trying to save his owner or their owner. And the whole time, you know, the owner is acting erratically. The owner is not acting like themselves. And Indy's trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. And the reason to me, I think this movie was as powerful as it was, is that we saw it through the innocent eyes of an animal.
Yes.
Perhaps the unfiltered eyes of an animal that doesn't understand why their human is acting irrationally, erratically, who just wants to be there for their human. I mean, in the movie, I mean, the dog really is put through the ringer, just trying to take care of his person. And, you know, and the, without ruining it, you know, you said, you know, at the end, there is a scene, and the owner tells the dog, you know, you can't save me. And it broke my heart. I recently lost my dog. And like, I'm trying not to get choked up when I'm saying this, because the movie got me choked up when, like, I was watching it. But like, it's obviously hard to lose a dog, but you have multiple dogs throughout your life. But this sort of puts into perspective when a dog loses their human, they typically only have one human. And that just really broke my heart, because Indy just wanted to save his human. And that, to me, made the movie so meaningful, and just so profound in some way. Like, it was a weirdly profound horror movie. Like, you don't see horror movies that elicit that kind of emotion, because it was scary. It was dark. It was, you know, sort of mystical in a way, but it was also so profound, and just it was so interesting how they did it. And I just could not, I can't say enough good things about this. This is such a fantastic movie. And like it, the thing about the two is, like, I don't know if I'll ever watch this movie again. You know what I mean? This is one of those movies that, like, I think I could be satisfied with watching it the one time, because it had that sort of profound impact on me that I don't know if I need to watch it again. And it's not that it was a bad movie. It was just that, I think the one time was good.
I don't know. It is, again, a little loose with the horror, but I think there's enough suspense going on and stuff that it slides in there a little bit. It's not a, I wouldn't say it's a, well, I, the, to me, the scary parts were this. I had this concern through the whole thing that nothing happened to the dog. And it's like, I kept thinking, oh, they won't do that. Sure, they won't do that, right? They won't go there. And I kept wondering, oh, no, are they going to? So that was my fear, but which is still a legitimate fear. But I did. I really enjoyed the movie. I really liked it. I thought it was fun. Not fun, but enjoyable. And everything else. So, oh, boy, now we got to rate this thing, though. You know what? I really feel like, because I use 3 as my center of the line if I enjoyed a movie. So it's definitely at least there, right? Because I enjoyed it. If I enjoyed it a little extra, I bump it up usually typically to 3.5. I think it's definitely there. So it's a 3.5. Now, I usually save my 4s for movies which do something different. And you know, I really think in my heart of hearts, I think this movie took enough of a unique approach that I don't recall ever really being tried like this, that I think, you know what? I think it warrants, I think I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. So that's where I stand on it. I think I enjoyed it enough. I think it's unique enough. And I think they took a big enough swing and delivered that I'm giving them that. I'm sticking with it. So, like, what do you think?
I think that I'd have to give this movie a 4 out of 5. I think this movie is great in all aspects. I do think it is. I think it's a horror movie because horror is subjective. What is scary to me, or what is scary to you, or what is scary to somebody else, is very different. And I think that one of the scariest things that we have to embrace as humans is death and loss. And this movie is a very, very candid and unfiltered version of loss, which in of itself is horrifying, but also the aspects around it were. So absolutely, 4 out of 5 for me. This was almost a perfect movie. I think that there are some slight things that could have maybe changed that could have made it a perfect movie. But I think for what they were working with and for the amount of time and effort they put into this, at 4 out of 5, it is very, very good.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, again, I think they did a great job with what they were trying to achieve. And I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that they didn't reach what they were going for. I mean, to me, it felt right. So,
yeah.
But like we said earlier, next episode, we are reviewing The Ugly Stepsister, which is now available on Shudder. But before we finish out today, we'd like to say thank you to the wives and all you listeners and followers for all your support. Everybody, be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 in Screams, and you'll find us. So before we officially close this out, Ike, anything you want to add?
Well, this is obviously coming out when Thanksgiving is happening. So,
that's right.
Hopefully everyone out there is having a fun and safe, Thanksgiving. My big thing is don't fry your turkeys in a big fryer if you've never done it before. Don't put that sumbitch in there frozen, because you're just going to explode everywhere. Mm-hmm. Also, preferably do it on pavement. Don't put it on the grass or near your house, because you don't want to catch the grass on fire.
That's right.
Or your house on fire. You know, I fried a couple turkeys before. I have been subject to other people frying turkeys, and let me tell you, that is a stressful process, and great outcome, delicious.
Yes, yes, yes.
Man.
That's right. Yeah. So, Ike, what is your favorite, before we close out, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Oh my God, that is such a hard, hard question.
It is.
So you're
at the table, stuffed, but you just want a little bit more. What are you going back for a little bit more of?
Probably sweet potato casserole. Either that or mashed potatoes. Some kind of potato, either sweet potato casserole or mashed potatoes. I love both immensely, but I love sweet potatoes. I think I would probably reach for that first.
Yeah, mine's probably got to be stuffing. I love stuffing so much. And so that's if I'm going for a little more, it's probably that. So
I think Taylor would agree with you. She loves stuffing.
Me too. So turkey, white meat or dark meat?
Oh, white meat, 100%. I prefer white meat infinitely. I like dark meat, but I don't know. Dark meat's a little weird for me. Like I prefer chicken breast over like chicken thighs most of the time.
See, I'm a dark meat mother. I like white meat. Don't get me wrong. I'll eat that all day too. But I do like dark meat. So
that Kayla's sounded dark weird. Meat as well.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll sit at the kids' table and eat our stuff.
Stuffing and dark meat.
That's right. How about cranberry sauce? The jellied or the actual fruit stuff?
So I will eat either. Right? Like I'm not going to say no to either cranberry sauce, but I prefer myself homemade cranberry sauce with actual cranberries, full on cranberries.
Yeah, me too. I'll eat some of the jelly if that's it, but I'm not a huge fan. But I love homemade, homemade cranberry sauce with natural cranberries. That's totally the way to go.
100%.
I am one of those. I'm a big fan of the sub places with the Thanksgiving subs and everything.
Oh yeah, the gobblers.
Yes, yeah, like I think Firehouse. Firehouse has one with, turkey stuffing, cranberry sauce, and they actually give you a brown gravy to dip in.
Really?
Lord, that shit's dangerous. And
so we went to Arby's and we tried their gobbler, Thanksgiving sandwich, and it was good. Don't get me wrong, but it definitely needed some gravy to dip it in.
I'm telling you, the Firehouse is the way to go. That's good shit, good stuff. So, all right, well, we're primed and ready for dinner now, for Thanksgiving. So there you have it. So. All right, guys, thank you for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We will see you again for next week for another episode. Wherever you go, wherever you do, be good, be safe, have many pleasant nightmares, and of course, gobble, gobble, motherfuckers.